the challenge itself is a design solution. And the ones that NATO loves will go into the third phase, the development in the innovation lab, after which we should have a minimum viable product of that solution.
Ackerschnacker, der Podcast des Cyber Innovation Hub der Bundeswehr.
All right, hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Ackerschnacker. This is a very special episode today because it's the last one of our summer tour, and I'm very glad to welcome Serge Dadepo from NATO ACT Innovation Hub. Welcome, Serge, and thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
Hi, Julian. I'm happy to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I would like to start today's Ackerschnacker with you talking about what the NATO ACT does. I know it's Allied Command Transformation, but maybe you give us an insight. What exactly are your tasks? What is the purpose of the ACT and especially the Innovation Hub?
So in a nutshell, Allied Command Transformation is the part of NATO military that is focusing on the future. It has as a mission to contribute to developing NATO's forces, capabilities and structures by organizing the strategic thinking, the development of capabilities, education and training, and also cooperation and engagement with partners. And it's a command that is really focused on what's happening next, not the current operation, but the next operations, and how the world will evolve and the environment in which NATO will have to operate is evolving. So with this mission, it's obvious that there are so many topics that are beyond what the traditional military or even the civilians in NATO have as a skill set or an expertise. And so Allied Command Transformation needs to have a network of people helping them, collaborating with them, helping them understand the environment and find solutions for future challenges. These are really the two specificities on how a command works, open to the outside and looking towards the future. To achieve its goals, Allied Command Transformation really needs to have a good collaboration with people who are not in NATO, with people who are not in the military, anywhere they might be. And so even if everyone inside their own project is conducting that interaction with the outside world, the Innovation Hub was designed to specialize in that interaction and to make it much easier and much more efficient to collaborate between NATO with people who are not in NATO. And that's the main point of the Innovation Hub, is to bring innovation from outside NATO into it. Innovation is a very big word, and I think when people read the title Innovation Hub, they would imagine a lot of things that actually we don't do. We are really specializing in two specific areas of innovation, and I already mentioned the openness. So open innovation is probably the main characteristic of the Innovation Hub. The second is agile development. And so we are specializing in those two specific methodologies of innovation because they are highly relevant to the command, but also they are difficult to the skills for these are difficult to develop by everyone from the get-go. And so even if everyone can be innovative, and most of the people in ACT are, when you arrive in that new environment and you understand that you need to build a network with external experts, it takes a lot of time finding the people, establishing the relationship, but also mastering the tools that are necessary for that, just like the video conferencing. It seems trivial, but it actually is not. It's not that easy to get very efficient video conferencing, and not only in one-on-one with groups of people, without forgetting the aspect of getting the technology right. And you know, it takes time to get a good quality video conference. All of this is what we are specializing in the Innovation Hub, so that all ACT personnel in need of engaging with the public, engaging with the outside experts can get support from us. And so we are establishing those networks in advance. But it's not only the technical or the methodology aspect that we are taking care of. As an Innovation Hub, we are supposed to find solutions and develop them. And so we are doing this too with the community. We are developing and designing solutions in an open manner with the community. And when a solution has been selected by NATO for development, we would develop it in an agile way that's really inspired by the agile development methodology that's known in industry and was developed already time ago in the industry. But applying this into the NATO environment means that we are aiming at developing a solution in 6 months. So we will develop a minimum viable product of the solution that we have spotted or designed in 6 months in our innovation lab.
You just mentioned a lot of keywords that we are going to talk about later on in our talk. But I would like to take a step back and have a look at the beginning of ACT and the Innovation Hub especially. For how long does the ACT exist and for how long do you as an Innovation Hub exist?
So ACT was created in 2005. Remember well, we have been celebrating the 15 years not so long ago. I'm sorry, 2003, so yeah. The need for an innovation hub was there from the outset, but it took a while before people understood exactly the format of it. And so it's in 2011 that, let's say, the first step, conceptual steps were taken in designing the innovation hub, but it's really in 2012 that it started to operate, and we had the first project in 2012 in June, actually.
Where did the idea come from? And I've also heard that you hit a few bumps in the beginning and struggled a lot with some challenges. I'm interested in what were these challenges and how did you tackle them and overcome them?
Yes, it's something that's very interesting with our Innovation Hub is that it's a bottom-up initiative. It's not being backed up by the command or the strategic leaders from the outset. Of course, it's totally supported now. But at the beginning, it just came from the people in the city and basically in the place, the branch where I was working, we were feeling that something was missing. And as I was telling you just before, the need for tools to good collaboration with outsiders, it was missing. Every time a project would start, it would be reinventing the wheels and facing the same problem when trying to identify experts, getting them into NATO, collaborating with them. It was kind of frustrating because of that. Projects would take much too long, and some would not even get to fruition because of the rotational pattern of the personnel, the military personnel and the ACT. People rotate out after 3 years, usually. So sometimes they would not have enough time in the 3 years to get there. And so we were really frustrated. We were in the research and technology branch, so really in charge of getting industry, academia, and the NATO people collaborate together. And we're seeing that things were not working exactly on how they should be working. And so we had been brainstorming on what to do for a while until in 2011, I think, we had the concept of that innovation hub. And so obstacles, at that time, it was just a bunch of staff officers, you know? And so we had to sell the idea. Selling an idea on paper is not the good thing. So we had to prove it worthwhile. And we started to make it work at our level and building success stories to convince the NATO chain of command, one decision maker after the other. And so it's just not that we had specific obstacles, but it just took time because governmental organizations like the military don't like much the risk. And you tell them, you know, we are going to do something that's really new, that's never been done. We hope it works. And by the way, it's public. They're really afraid of that. And so basically it took us that time to convince everyone one by one, conducting risky projects. And when I say risky, it's not risky in a human understanding of the word. It's just risky in a organizational reputation. Yeah. So it happened, and it's really climbing the ladder one step at a time, convincing all the chain of command. And when they see it work well for one of the issues to solve, they like it and they support it. And so basically, it just took that time. Starting in 2012, I think it took us until 2015 to get our big boss, Sakti, the Supreme Allied Commander Transformation, to say, okay, I love this, do more of it, all right? Mm-hmm. So now beside this, like any new thing and any initiative that is labeled innovation, you have some resistance, all right? It's understandable. People who are not part of your initiative would doubt a little bit that it's doing good or better and feel a little bit threatened by that. But that's not really the big problem.
You mentioned that you had a lot of generals and staff members and commanders to convince, and you used proof of concepts basically for doing that. Could you tell us a little bit about what these proof of concepts look like?
When it started, what we did was just taking the ongoing projects that were conducted, let's say, in a traditional way, and put them into the model of open innovation and agile development, all right? And then the very first project that we worked on produced a solution that's called Extended Hand. The purpose of it is to get the Afghan people and the NATO people understand one another and collaborate together. It was the product of a bigger project about understanding the human environment and operations. It had been dealt in a traditional manner for probably 2-3 years before, and when it got into the open innovation agile development fashion, it got its solution in basically 4 months. So in 4 months with the solution identified, designed, developed in 4 months, while what had been doing before in 2-3 years were just some paper, all right? So this served really as the first use case, the first success story, because we could compare the speed, the development of the solution. And it was directly in support of the ISAF operation in Afghanistan. So it was not just a pie in the sky for the future capabilities. It went in implementation immediately, was used by close to 15 nations in the operation, and actually it's still used. That's what the first thing.
It's yes, an ISAF acknowledgement of the work, yes.
Yeah, I love to be able to tell that story because definitely it was the first project, but it really demonstrates all the steps. We had thought a lot on how to craft the Innovation Hub and its processes, and actually it started with a big workshop consulting industry. We had invited all the big industry that are known for their innovation. And so we had 50 companies advising us on how to develop the model of the Innovation Hub. And they followed us during the first project, at least at the beginning, to keep advising us and refine the model. And so basically it was really a school case of applying the techniques found in industry in a NATO environment. And so it worked pretty well. And the second one also was used to demonstrate and experiment new techniques. I think that one was called Social Media for NATO. It was also in support of the mission in Afghanistan, and what was requested by the people there to help them. That time, you know, it was 2013 there. If you can remember, NATO, the government, military was nowhere in social media. It was really seen as something that we don't understand, something that's very dangerous because you see on Facebook things that we don't like to see, and what can we do? And so that second project really gathered a very large crowd of experts and individuals, and it came up with developing the capability of training the military personnel on the use of social media for both personal and operational purposes. And so we created the first ever military massive open online course to train anyone in NATO who wanted to be trained on the efficient use of social media.
It's quite impressive to see how you actually tackle challenges and collaboration issues for every soldier within NATO, and especially on deployment. You also mentioned a lot of keywords like the open innovation, your network, and also agile development. And as I understand it, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, there are three main pillars the Innovation Hub basically is built up on. The first one is the NATO innovation challenges, right? The second would be the network itself, and the third, the innovation lab, where you gather all these agile development methods. And I would like to know what exactly is the innovation challenge. We did one in collaboration with NATO ACT and the Cyber Innovation Hub. Could you give us an insight on what the innovation challenges are?
Before going to some details about the innovation challenge, I would like to just describe you the solution design process quickly. So there are three stages. The first is the understanding, looking at the problem to solve, understanding the problem and its environment. The second stage is solution design. So when the problem is understood, we start developing a solution on paper. And the third and last one is the solution development. in which the solutions that have been designed are developed, and so the prototype, minimum viable product, is developed. So in those three stages, we have different tools and methodologies to progress. The innovation challenge in the solution design stage, so it means that we already understand what is the problem to solve. And how do we process? With that problem to solve, we make an open call to the public, and we run a prize or a challenge, and there are many, many names for those events. But basically, on a website, we'll describe what's the problem we want to solve and ask anyone to come up with solutions. And the solution, as a starting point, is just a few pages that they send us explaining this is how I would solve your issue. Then a board of experts from NATO and sometimes from outside will be reviewing all those papers and select the best ones. The best ones then will pitch live in front of a jury of NATO people. And there will be a winner and prizes. Having winners and prizes is really good for the model. It's part of it. But NATO is interested in all the solutions, actually. And besides having winners and prizes, we also take all the good solutions into account, and they're considered for development by NATO. The challenge itself is the design solution that is designed on paper. And the ones that NATO loves will go into the third phase, the development in the innovation lab, after which we should have a minimum viable product of that solution. And so the role in solution development of the innovation challenge is that one. That it has a second role, which is building the NATO innovation network. This is something that I need to tell you about next, probably.
Yes, I would like to hear something about that, because it's quite impressive. I mean, NATO has 28 member states, and I think your network also has a lot of other partners. I read something about 3,000 experts from 70 countries. Is NATO that open up to every other country, and how is your impression on that?
All right, so here we are talking about two different things. So the NATO Innovation Network and the Innovation Hub community. And sorry for throwing you labels and going to definition, but that's what it is. Let me define the Innovation Hub community. The Innovation Hub community is a community of individuals, experts, and people willing to help NATO from anywhere in the world. And so this is a purely open community that is used for the first and second stages in the solution development process. So it's very important that we are that open, because in the first stage, the stage of understanding, we really want to open eyes and ears to ideas from people from everywhere and any background. Mm. It's very important that we can counsel people. Now you would ask, hey, does it go beyond NATO? Of course it goes beyond NATO. How can you understand Pacific politics if you don't ask people living there, all right? So that community is open, but also in a community that is not touching any sensitive information, for example, all right? In the business of the Innovation Hub, when it's open community, it's mainly NATO asks questions, and everyone answers questions. So we are getting a lot about NATO. We are just saying, okay, we would like to understand what's happening there in politics. We would like to understand what's developing there in terms of new science and technology. We would like to know what are the solutions that you are applying to this problem. We'd like to know how you solve a NATO problem. And so that's what we are doing. And that's basically the Innovation Hub community. It has thousands of members. It has no borders, all right? So we use it for the two first stages in solution development.
You talked also about the open innovation process earlier, and now you're mentioning your network and the value of the network. And in my understanding, or in the understanding we have at the Cyber Innovation Hub, is open innovation consists of basically two processes. The first one is an outside-in process, where you take the tacit knowledge and take it into the innovation creation inside the organization. And the other process would be an inside-out process, where you basically give byproducts of the innovation process away that are not in your specific area of focus. In my understanding, a lot of people also in the civilian corporate world are resistant against, so that they feel that they don't want to open up that much because they are afraid of maybe giving competitive advantages away. How does NATO feel about that? Where is the surplus that you generate with the network opening up that much?
So many, many things that we have touched right now. So I would say that we are really conscious and cautious about taking care of the people who are collaborating with us. The worst thing that we could do is that anyone would get out of a collaboration with us with some damages, I mean, to their intellectual property. From the outset, we've been really asking everyone, what is it that you are looking for? How would you like to collaborate with us? What is your benefit out of it? And one thing that we have thought about it from people in industry is that government, customer, and the military is usually not able to support the activities of small companies, all right? It's based on a collaboration with big defense companies that are totally adjusted to their processes, but also have a very, very solid foundation. And so basically, they can survive just by feeding the military with their large equipment. When it comes to smaller companies and startups, the startups don't have the foundations that are strong enough just to be feeding NATO or defense. Just because things are slower in government than in private sector, it means that you receive your check later. You are paid not when you deliver what you deliver, but later. And sometimes it'll be much later. And just because of that, we know that if we would not put something in place, we would not actually help partners work with us. We would actually kill them. So definitely, we understand that, and therefore we are paying specific attention to this, but also developing processes to be able to help those people. And so how does it work? In the first stage, everything that's shared with us is public, and so everyone knows that. If a startup has a great idea and they want to give it to us, it will be seen by the public, and we let them know that they should not share things they don't want to disclose. Because at the beginning, we cannot just start a collaboration with a company because they knock at our door and it looks good. It needs to be processed a little bit and selected. And so at the beginning, it's all open and they know that. And in the second stage, if we go into the development of their solution, the contract, it might be different every time, but often it kind of split the benefits and responsibilities. NATO is not just ripping away the ID and run away with it. It's a balance between what NATO can do with the ID and what the company or the inventor is able to do with that ID. Of course, the purpose is that NATO uses it, but the company can still sell it to someone else. And the next step is that we are helping them. It's part of the innovation challenge, for example, that the problems that we are trying to solve are dual use. And so if you propose a solution to the innovation challenge, it's also a solution to a non-military problem. And so while the companies are working with us, we are helping them develop the NATO part of their solution, but we are also helping them develop the non-NATO part of the solution, knowing that if they can sell their ID to the private sector, there will be a flow of money that's much faster to help them survive while they are still working in developing the NATO version of it. It's a priority to us that we do that, and definitely the companies that have a development contract with us are kind of happy of the arrangement.
How do you do that? It sounds quite complicated and a lot of challenges to really build up that trust.
Building the trust takes time, and definitely it's by proof of concept like the rest. Everything we do, and I think it's a principle of agile development, is not to shoot for the moon immediately, but to take baby steps. And so every time something is done, we try to make it really well in a trust relation with the partners so that they would get something out of it every time. It's not a promise that they will get a benefit after 3 years. Every step of the process, they need to get some benefit. And so we are doing that. Now, when it comes to helping a startup, for example, develop its non-military customer network, we are not good at that. And we would hire experts to help them do that. All right. And so besides what the work they do with our NATO project team, they would have advice from experts on how to develop their project, on how to find customers. When we design, for example, the scenario of innovation challenge and we review the solution, we also have non-military experts in the team so that the dual use is always a priority.
Do you have a favorite project that you had with startups or within an innovation challenge?
My favorite things are closer to the human more than the technology. And so the two first that I'm already mentioned actually were at the very, very beginning of the innovation hub. The team was small and they are really my babies. So the extended hand and the social media tornado. And the engagement was so intense that, it's like a first love. And so they remain my favorite. But now we are running probably 20 projects in parallel. I like very much the ones that go into a profound change, at least proposing a profound change in the mindset in NATO and the military. So the ones looking to the future, figuring out how we can organize things differently. And we had recently the warfighting 2040 project looking at what would be operations within 20 years. So I like that very much. Another that I like very much is the virtual reality and the augmented reality for command and control. And this is much more technology, but I think the hinge between the technology and the people using it is really interesting in that one. You know, the headset on the head of the people swallowing thousands of gigabytes during hours, that's the thing that really rings a bell to the psychologist in me.
It's quite interesting because it really nicely fits to what I've been talking about with Matt Denny from NavalX 2 weeks ago. He called it a human-centered design. And for example, NavalX also teaches agile methods to soldiers to empower them to be innovative, like Scrum Master. And you also mentioned a lot these agile methods that you are using. Could you give us an insight on that? Which are that? And do you only use them internally or do you also teach them to others to empower them to be innovative in their units?
And NavalX said, and I think most of the people who are in this business say, it's about the people. The question those who don't understand what they are talking about are making is, what is the technology I need to explore? It's never about technology. It's about the people using the technology. And so definitely we are people-centric. We tackle a lot of technologies, but it's always with an angle, how would people use it? How can they make the most of it? And innovation is about changing the mindset. It's not about changing the equipment. So we focus on that. We are not training outsiders on that. Even if we would be asked to do it, we would. But as I was saying at the beginning, we focus on open innovation, agile development to develop solutions for NATO. And we are not directly training any people, all right? We are training our own people and agile development, the Scrum and those things. We go through that and this is the methodology we use to manage our development project. Design thinking is something that we use too, but there are so many. I mean, they all have very good potential. If you want to know more about that, by the way, I'll shout out for an organization I like a lot. It's the NESTA, it's the UK government think tank and innovation center, and you would find there all the innovation methodologies documented that you can think of. And we have been trained by those guys also. So for our personnel, the innovation hub and the innovation branch, which is bigger than the innovation hub, we take all of that and we apply it to our projects. And now about the question again, do we train the people? We are not training the NATO people, we are reframing them. So someone from NATO can be a customer of ours. They come with a problem to solve. They come to the Innovation Hub, they explain their problem, and we would get them into a project that will deliver the solution. And so we would not train those people in agile development, in Scrum Master, or even design thinking, whatever. We get them in a room in which they are sitting with people who are experts from somewhere else. And so they will hear so many things they never heard of that it will trigger innovation in their mind. So that's really the reframing. And they have just to sit, listen, and then at some point, of course, it will become a dialogue and then a collaboration into developing something that's innovative. And so training is not one of our main functions.
So this sitting and listening is basically the part of the understanding of the three stages process you explained to us earlier, right?
Yes, so the listening, asking questions is the part of understanding. And then I would say at each stage, there is a decision point. And our customer, who is a NATO personnel would go into the understanding part and identify options for solutions. And then if they decide to continue with us, they will go into the design part. And there, they will not be trained in it. They will just be in the design workshop, but they have mentor or facilitator from the innovation hub who is trained and would guide the community for them. So the customer, the NATO person is not trained, but basically is just saying what they want, asking questions, and someone from the innovation hub will get the project team work for them. And even more in agile development phase, in the development phase, it's really run by people from the innovation hub with the customer coming to validate the products, to clarify the requirements, probably on a weekly basis.
Sash, thank you very much. We are running a little out of time, and I've got one last question. Maybe you could answer that briefly. In Germany, it is usual that one only has about 2 years of service at one service post. And you are with us, with the Cyber Innovation Hub, since day one of the Cyber Innovation Hub, which is about 3 years ago. How long will you stay with us?
You cannot leave the Innovation Hub community. Sometimes this is a trap, but wherever I go, I will still be in that community because it's bringing so much gratification to the active members that will be there. One thing that I could not tell you about is the NATO Innovation Network. Do we have 1 minute for that?
Yes, of course.
So because I detailed the Innovation Hub community of individual experts, but I need to talk about the NATO Innovation Network of governmental entities. So the entities from the nations doing open innovation for defense are gathered in the NATO Innovation Network. And we are in the same network, the German Defense Cyber Innovation Hub, and us, and many more. From this stage, organizations from seven nations are part of this. And their specificity is that they all do open innovation and they want to collaborate all together. And so with those entities that are similar to the Innovation Hub, we are sharing best practice, we are helping one another, we are sharing problems and solutions, and more to come because it's also a community where people come with the issues and we help one another.
Thank you very much. So we are happy to collaborate with you a little longer and that you stay with us for a little longer. Thank you very much for this talk. I could talk to you, I guess, a few more hours because the topics are really interesting to me personally and also to the Innovation Hub itself. Thanks for taking the time today. And I hope that we get to work together on a few projects in the near future again.
I'm ready for that.
Have a nice
day. Thank you. You too. Bye.
Das war der Ackerschnacker. Abonnieren auf ackerschnacker.info.